The first thing I want to say is there's a level that's probably freaking some people out. Who are these people? Getting so vulnerable in a room full of people. But I'll put your hand up, I'm pressing in. You just, in yourself, just go there. Just let yourself go there just for a bit. Just let yourself go there. See what happens. And so there's a level of faith, there's a level of vulnerability in this room. Just let yourself sung this morning that God's not gonna fail you. Just go there. I tell this message standing before Goliath. So appropriate this morning. You guys are already preaching my message, but I'm just going to reinforce it because that's who God is. He's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing to you as he's saying to me, and he's saying the same thing to the church. So I just get to confirm what you've all been saying. But firstly, I know you've all been just like losing sleep over it and needing to know how my avocado tree's gone. Okay, so if the person next to you is going, avocado tree, just nudge them and go, it's important. So this is how it was. This is what it was. And I can, with thanks to God, this is what it is today. So excited. And I'm a little worried because its leaves are a little bit droopy because it's a bit hot. So if there's anyone who's got a proper green thumb, like I got a fake one, if you've got a proper green one, come and see me. It is not this one here, I promise. I promise it's this one. Not, oh, it's not going to go backwards. There it is. Promise it's that one and not the little one. Anyway. Okay, we're talking about David and Goliath this morning, and I don't know about you, but I like winning. I like it. I like it. If you know me at all or have ever played a game with me, I'm quite competitive. I'm quite competitive. And I meet my match when God married me to Nate, because Nate's also quite competitive, makes for fun, and so my sweetest wins are against Nate. Because he's got exactly the same information as I do. Yeah. You know, going to the shops, don't have Atlas with us, need to buy a pair of shoes. I say it's this size, and Nate goes, well, that's way too big, it's this size. We buy his size because I, you know, submit him to my husband. Get home, it's the wrong size. We had to go back and get my size. Because nice to win. It's nice to win. He goes, you were right. I know I was right. So there's a story in the Bible about David and Goliath. You know, it's this awesome story. And if you don't know it, I'm going to do a quick recap. You've got the Israelites, you've got a hill, and then you've got this valley, and you've got this hill. We've got the Israelites standing over here, and they're God's people. You know, everyone knows God's with them. And then you've got the Philistines over here. And, you know, they're trying to conquer land, you know, as they were trying to conquer land, trying to establish their nation. And the Bible says he's 3 meters tall. And he's carrying a spear that is, let me get this right, the point of it is 60 kilograms, just the point of it. So he's this big guy, right? And he's on the Philistine side, and he's walking out the front. And so these days, it was actually really common when armies came against each other that they would have a champion. So someone who was for a one-on-one. Yeah, so Philistines put their guy forward and the Israelites put their guy forward. And the wage is high. So they go one-on-one. If one kills the other, the Israelites will become the Philistine's slave. Or if, you know, the Israelites win, the Philistines become their slave. So you've got one-on-one battling for a nation, yeah? They're representing the nation. And so you don't pick this guy, like, you don't just like, oh, that guy will do. Like, you gotta pick the right guy. Yeah, the strong, the brute. And so Goliath, his name was Goliath, this guy, 3 meters tall, obviously standing above the rest. They're like, who's our guy? Here's our guy. Like, there was no conversation. There was like, oh, maybe John, maybe Patrick, you know, he's been lifting some weights. No, they're like, no, Goliath. Goliath's it. That's him. That's him. And so they get there, right, and you've got these two armies. And so the Philistines are like, it's Goliath. And the Israelites are like, oh, I don't know. Who do we send? Not me. I don't want to go. No. And so Goliath's standing at the front there, and he's doing his thing. He's doing his bravo, like, you guys. And, you know, saying, all, putting the Israelites down. Yeah, who do you think you are? Your God is no one. You know, just throwing the insults, yeah. And the Israelites are going, oh, I don't know. You go, no. the Bible says that that Goliath did this for 40 days and 40 nights. Every morning, every night, came out to throw his insults. I was like, poor, that's a long time to just stand there, get insults thrown at you. That sucks. So anyway, the fight goes that this guy David, who, you know, is sent to the battlefield by his dad. He's not even check on his brothers that are in the Israelite army, right? And so David comes in. He's got food for them. He's going, what's going on? What's going on? Dad wants to know what's going on. Anyway, he comes at one of these times, a Goliath's coming out and he's throwing his insults. He goes, army is the army of God. Who's this guy? Yeah. Who is this guy? What's he doing? Anyway, the story goes on and David's talking and getting amongst the army to the point that the king notices him and goes, who's that? Bring him here. David comes to the tent. And David goes, oh, I'll fight him. What? What? This is a part of the story. I was like, what? David goes, no. I'm a shepherd boy, and I know I don't look like much, and I'm young, and I'm not even in the army, but, you know, when I was looking after the sheep, I fought bears, and I fought lions, and I won, and I'm still here, so I can do it because God did it then. King goes, oh, okay. What? That bit doesn't make sense to me. There's a boy who's coming and goes, I fought bears and I fought lions. You know, I could do this. And he's like, sure, we'll put the livelihood of our nation in your hands. You can fight for it. You can be our champion. I'm like, what? Anyway, he does. Tries to give him armor, doesn't fit. Tries to, you know, David goes, no, I'm going to do this on my own. Goes to the river, picks up some stones because that's what he uses when he's a shepherd, a slingshot. Pew, pew, pew. Goes, get some stones. Goes, this is all I need. God's with me. He ends up, spoiler alert, he ends up killing Goliath. One stone to the forehead, Goliath drops. Pew. Hey! Philistines become their slaves and all is good. David's a hero. It's such a good story, you know, the underdog and beating the big guy. And, you know, if I was a betting person, I probably would have betted for Goliath, you know. And I'm reading the story and God gave me the story. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard this story, you know. A lot of us have heard this story, you know, Sunday school. Yeah. I'm like, so I'm so believing in God. You're awesome, God, and you're with me. But why don't I always feel like I'm winning? God's with me. And if God's the same today as he was back then, he's the same God that's with me. Why don't I always feel like I'm winning? Why don't I always feel like I can slay my Goliaths? Because they're very real to me. I don't know about you, but I've had battles and I've got Goliath. You know, one of my battles right now is I run my own business. I'm a virtual assistant, so I do admin work remotely for businesses. And I make mistakes, and I'm owning that error, or I do something with an error, and I see it, and you can't undo it. You can't press the undo button. It crushes me. It crushes me. And immediately, my Goliath steps out. Guess what are you doing? You can't do this. You can't do a good enough job. What are you doing? Pack up. You know, you're done. You're done. You're going to lose your client. They can't forgive you this time. You've done it too many times. You're done. Might as well pack up the business. My Goliath comes out and taunts me. So I don't know if you recognize the sound or the voice of my Goliath, but maybe if you just slow down, you're never going to get this. Why don't you quit now? How many times does this need to happen before you'll get it? They only keep you around because they feel sorry for you. You're not good enough. It's over. You can't fix this. I don't know if your Goliath sounds like mine. But I want you to know is no matter what the size of the battle is, it's as real as the person who's sitting next to you. Your battle's your battle for a reason. It's crazy. And sometimes it just leaves you feeling like this. So I had this question. I was like, God, what if Goliath didn't win the battle? What if David even? What if David didn't win the battle? Because I don't always feel like I'm winning. So what if he didn't win? When I look back at the story of the Israelites, the story of God's people, you know, it started back with Abram, who got renamed to Abraham, who God showed him his promise and promised your people, my people, are going to be more numerous than the stars. You know, and Abraham and his sons took this to the people and told them the truth that there is one God and that they can unify behind one God. He's the creator. He has all authority. And so then these people started to grow in number. And so then we come, it was just incredible. They were living, they were in Canaan. And then the Egyptians came and conquered them. They didn't win. And actually they were taken into Egypt and put into slavery for 430 years. I wonder if the Israelites were thinking then, my God is with me. Why aren't I winning? You know, and then they get out of Egypt and they go through the Red Sea and then they're walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, starving, you know, no water. And then they finally, Joshua finally gets him into the promised land. And it's awesome for a bit, and they story. But then the oppressors come again. First comes the Moab, and then King of Hazar, and then the Midianites, and then comes one of their own. Is it Amalek? I'm looking at Drew. Huh? Abimelech? I think so. Close enough. Jesus, forgive us. And that's one of their own that rises up and decides he wants to be king and leads him with all this bloodlust. And then the people are like, no, this is not right. And he gets torn down. They were used to understood crushing defeat, oppression. And yet these are the people that, you know, God was with them. And other nations knew this is the nation that God is with, yet they still experience these crushing defeats. John 16:33 says, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I was having the conversation with my dad, Nate and I, probably 2017 when we left the school, and we were staff at the school and we'd heard from God that this was the year to leave. This is the year to move on. And so I'm having a conversation with my dad. My dad is not a Christian. Outwardly makes fun of my faith. And I'm having this conversation with my dad, and he's talking about my imaginary friend in the sky. And he started talking and saying, well, we're saying, we don't actually know what's next. We had no plan of employment. We had no plan of income. We just knew that the school was done. At the end of this year, we're moving on. We don't know what to, but we have faith and we have assurance that God's prepared something. And for someone who doesn't have faith, that's hard to hear. Our son at the time, Atlas, he was probably under one. We still have a son, Atlas. He's under one. He hasn't gone anywhere. They don't go anywhere, Kim. Never. They never go anywhere. And my dad was really struggling, like, no, no, no. And like eyeballing Nate and saying, how are you going to provide for my daughter and my grandson? How are you going to provide? Is this the right choice? You're making a stupid choice. Yeah. Whoa. To the point he looked me in the face and said, I don't trust you. I don't trust you with this decision. But we were saying, you know, we are a bit worried. There's some anxiety about what's next, but ultimately we have faith. And he goes, no, no, no. If you have faith, you can't be anxious. No way. If you have faith, why are you worrying? I was like, wait, what? I'm not superhuman. I'm still human. Just because I have God doesn't mean I don't worry or don't feel defeated, don't feel like I'm not winning, don't feel like it's hard. He goes, no, 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 but you have faith. You have this guy in the sky. I was like, I wonder how many people are thinking that just because you have Jesus, like it's easy. Friends, life doesn't get any easier. It does get easier, but it doesn't mean that things are easy. It doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. It doesn't mean that things still don't rip us to the core. It doesn't mean that you still have those days that you doubt yourself or doubt your parenting or doubt, you know, what's happening or the job that you're in or like that. You're still human. You're still experiencing life. God doesn't pick you up and put you on a Jesus. Like, do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? So just because you have faith doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. But we have an assurance. Because of our faith, Nate and I had an assurance that even though we had no idea what that looks like, we're going to be okay. God was going to provide an income. God had a path set for us. He didn't tell us to leave to go to nothing. So knowing that we're going to face battles, what can we do when we're in the middle of it? I only got 2 points this morning. Because I actually got to practice my sermon yesterday for a person who was in crisis. And they stopped me after the second one. And I went, oh, okay, that's it. That's all we need. Simple as that. It doesn't have to be complicated, friends. I think we try and complicate it. And God's not complicated. He loves you. He's got the best for you. And he wants you to walk in it. Trust it. In the middle of the battle, we have to remember who God is and who he says I am. If your memory's not great, you've got a piece of paper, you fill in the blank. It's only two things. In the middle of the battle, remember who God is and who he says he am. So in this story of David and Goliath, in 1 Samuel 17:26, it says, David turns to the Israelite soldiers and asks them, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? This reminded me of a moment, and all I heard when I read this was, do you know who my dad is? Yeah. David's gone, does this guy know who is the God of this army? Does he know? Like, someone should tell him. Someone should tell him. Remember, I was primary school. I was walking home. I used to walk home. My brother and sister. I have no idea where they were on this day, but I was walking home with a girl I went to school with and her little brother. Must have been year six. Walking home, wasn't far from home. Walking home, and I still to this day can't remember what prompted it, but her little brother came up. Come here, Pacey. I can be violent with you. Come here. Put your sunglasses down. We have a relationship. This is okay. But I don't know where this little boy grabs me by the shirt and holds his fist to my face. I don't know where. Thanks. I don't know where. I'm going, what is going on? I've never been in a fight in my life. I might look feisty, but it's all talk. It's all talk, seriously. I think I have been punched once, but that was because I got in the way of a punch that was for someone else. Seriously. I'm not violent. So this kid's got me by the collar, and I'm looking at his sister like, tell him, let him go. What is he doing? He could do it. So I was legitimately scared. I'm, you know, what are you doing? Let go. And then all of a sudden out of my mouth goes, do you know who my dad is? So for some of you who don't know, my dad's a cop. My dad's been a cop all his life, like just live and breathe it. Sydney cop. So like he's used to like the rough stuff. So I'm like, do you know who my dad is? I'm going to the police. That's it. They're going to jail. Seriously freaking out. They let go of me. I ran the rest of the way home. Got in the door. Mom, call the police. That's it. Freaking out. I said, what is going on? Like, this kid. Broke down. Like, I had the scratch marks to prove it. Like, on my, like, he grabbed me. But I think that's how we should be in the middle of the battle. Do you know who my dad is? Seriously? When I make a mistake and, you know, Goliath comes out and he's taunting and he's saying those words, you know, just like, is that true? Is it not true? Do you know who my dad is? Do you know who my God says that I am? He says that I'm chosen. He says that I'm his. That he says no one can take me from his hand. He says I have value and I have worth and you can't take that away from me. You know, he's put me in a place that I have skills that I've learned. He's given me the business. God told me to do this. He gave me these clients. God knew what to do when he put Nate and I together, because Nate in those moments just comes in and he just says exactly what I need to hear. He goes, whoa, whoa, your value's not tied up in what you do. Your value's tied up and your value comes from a God who loves you, created you, knows you, sees you, hears you, goes before you, battles for you. Makes you think, how many battles are we not going through? Because, yeah, it's crazy. It's a whole nother message. Whole nother message. You remember who God is and who he says you are. So in the story, David comes to the battlefield. He's sizing up the opponent. He's been talking. The king summons him to the tent. You know, at first the king's like, oh, no, no, no. You're too small. You're a boy. He goes, no, no, I'll fight him. I'll fight him. Gets him ready. David's arguing statement to the king, why should I do this? I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I've done this before with lions and bears, and I'll do it with this pagan Philistine too. For he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. I want you to see, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. God saved David from the lion and the bear to prepare him for the battle to come. What battles are you for the battle to come? Tim once preached at Simple Church about candles. He said, when you have a blackout, when the power goes out, you reach for the candles. He likened those to the times that God has done, shown up in your life. He said, when you have a blackout in your life, when your spirit is broken, when you're defeated, when it looks like the lights have gone out, what are the that you can recall, that you can think on? What are the times in your life that God has shown up for you that you can go, I might be in darkness, this might be hurting, I might be defeated and feel defeated, but oh, this is the time that God provided for me. This is the time when he brought me through this battle. And this is the time he did this. And this is the time he did this. Yeah? What are the candles that you're reaching for? Have you been able to stop and take note of all the times that God provided and let them light the way in the darkness? When Goliath is crashing my thoughts, when Goliath is belting me, even when Goliath manages to take a pound of my flesh and my confidence, shake me, it shakes me. God gave me this business. God gave me these clients. God gave me this confidence. God gave me the grace. God gave me the time. God gave me the patience. God gave me this. God gave me that. And when I put those on and when I light the candle, it's not dark anymore. So it's like there's enough candles in the room to light the room. It's not dark anymore. And one circumstance, one earthly circumstance could no longer shake the foundation that God has set up for me. He's put me. God is preparing you, training you through your battles, through the hard times, through the wins and the losses. What are your candles when the lights go out? Seriously, this is one of the reasons I love sharing time at this church. Because when we stand And when we share a battle and we share how God got us through it, that's someone showing you that candle. That's the time you get to share a candle. Because sometimes, in the moment, it's hard to remember those candles. It's hard to remember those times until God can recall them. So sometimes, this morning, when we had people share, people, God, bring you out of the darkness, bring you away from anger, bringing you out of, you know, tearing yourself down, listening to the Goliath, playing into his stories, playing into his lies. When we hear of people who've been delivered from that, that can be a candle for someone else. Because you have no idea who is sitting in the dark. Battles don't always look like Goliath fighting David. Sometimes it looks like us fighting ourselves. Sometimes it looks like it's happening in here. We're putting on a brave face. Remember, in the middle of the battle, there is a plan and a purpose. You're not sent into a battle for no reason. Israelites and the Philistines didn't go, well, let's just stand on these hills and we'll just organize this fight. No, there was a purpose. Just two things. In the middle of the battle, remember who God is and who he says you are. And in the middle of the battle, know that there is a plan and a purpose. I'm going to get the band up, please. This morning, there is two things. You can do whatever you want. But on this side, we have a letter from God, telling you who you are. Purely scriptural. Every single word on that page is from the Bible. Telling you who you are. Because sometimes we need reminding. Sometimes we need reminding that we are worth value. That we are worth hearing. That we are worth listening to. That what we have to say matters. And on this side, there is a candle. Because some of you need to know what your candles are. Some of you need to be reminded what your candles are. So that the next time it goes dark, you have a candle to grab. And not only that, the next time your friend's life goes dark, you have a candle to share. That's it. Amen.